Good morning, this is Doug Fain, and welcome to All Things Jessamine. Today we're going to be talking to a fellow who was born and raised here. He used to own part of a feed company over on 3rd Street. It was called Teeter & Casty Farm Supply. His name is Perry Lee Teeter, but most people know him as Buddy. We'll talk to Buddy about his company and his life and the history of that corner right after this word from one of our fine sponsors here at Jess FM.
Greetings from Dr. Amanda Eschelbach, your local Jessamine County dentist. When my patient, Buddy Littrell, recently decided to go ahead with a new partial, he gave me a reason I do not hear often. He said, final decision was that it gave him a peace of mind, and no one can put a price on peace of mind. Come visit us at 621 Edgewood Drive. Let Dr. Amanda offer you some peace of mind. Call us at 885-4621.
We are here on this Saturday morning's broadcast of All Things Jessamine, and I'm going to talk to a fellow today that a lot of people around this county know and have known for a long time. He's a lifelong resident of Jessamine County and part of a family that I guess, Buddy, you could say it's kind of like crabgrass. They're everywhere, and that's Buddy Teeter. Perry Lee Teeter is his real name. Thanks for being on the program, Buddy.
Well, thank you, Doug, for having me. People don't, when you say Perry Lee, most people don't know what we're talking about when they say that. A lot of times my kin folks don't even know Perry Lee. I've seen go back to cousins that, who's Perry Lee? They all knew me, my buddy. And so and the way that got started, Doug, was my sister named me that when they brought me home from the hospital. And she looked at me the first time and she says, well, that's my little buddy. So that's how that all originates.
From the first day, practically.
From the first day, I've been Buddy.
And you're right. I'd say that if you ask 9 out of 10 Jessamine County natives who Perry Lee Teeter is, they probably would not know.
And you're exactly right. Yeah.
So when you get in trouble, you go by Perry Lee. Is that right?
Right. Incognito, Perry Lee.
And you knew, I guess, like everybody, that if your mother said Perry Lee, she meant business.
That's right. I knew either to undo what I had done or run.
Well, let's talk about that just so people will get the connection. And for people who maybe aren't from here, tell us a little bit about your family, mom, dad, and all those connections.
Well, my dad was one of 8 children, and he grew up down in the Little Hickman area. Of course, the Teeter name down in the Little Hickman is very prominent. My mother was a Browning, and she grew up in the Chrisman Mill area down there, and that's back in the early 1900s when they married. And of course, I've got several cousins. I think there were 32 of us cousins, and I think about 11 or 12 of them still left.
Now, the 13 that you mentioned, all of them are gone now. Is that right?
The 13.
It was 13 kids, did you say?
No. Cousins?
No. Your dad's siblings.
Eight. Yes, they're all gone.
But if you can, name those other 7 so people will. Well, just name all 8 because I don't think we told your dad's name.
Well, my dad's name was, Bobby. He was Bobby Teeter to everybody in the county, but his name was Robert Perry.
Right.
And that's where my first name came from, Perry.
Right.
Perry Lee. And then there was Uncle Curry Teeter, who's Kenneth and Howard Curry's dad.
Uh-huh.
And then Uncle Bill, whose siblings were Kirby.
Right.
And Pat and Dot. And then there was Uncle Charlie with Kirby. 2 or 3 other girls in that family. And then, let's see, go back to Uncle Buf. And then there was 2 girls, Aunt Mary and Aunt Bess.
Now, did all of them stay in Jessamine County?
They all stayed in Jessamine County, born and raised in Jessamine County.
Yeah. Well, now, a lot of people that may have been here for some time will remember the Teeter name from the feed store. Teeter and Casty, which I'm glad to see whoever has bought it is trying to get it back to look like it did in the days when you all had it.
Right.
And for those that don't know, that sat in the building that is located directly across the street from the current Stratton Lumber Company. It used to be Southern States before they moved on the bypass. But let's talk about Teeter and Casty. How did that all start?
It all started in 1955, Doug, when my father and first cousin Welch Cassidy took the business over and started it as a Southern States store. That building was built in 1919, believe it or not, by the Dodd family, and it was the blocks that the building was built out of were made right there on site. That's a very well-built building, and it'll be there for centuries to come if it's taken care of.
Now, In my years of growing up, I heard reference to Dodd's Corner. Is that the same Dodd's?
That's the same building, Dodd's Corner.
Oh, that's where Dodd's Corner was.
That is the building.
Because I'm assuming at some point in time, when you got to that building, you were pretty much out in the country.
There was actually, a cattle pen.
Really?
There at that building, yes,
yeah.
in the early 1900s.
So that building, almost 100 years old now.
Yeah, coming up on 100 years old.
And the Dodd's, now did they open a...
Yes, a farm supply business,
okay.
So to speak. Coal, feed,
okay.
that kind of thing.
And they had it, did they have it straight up till 55?
Yes.
When your dad and Welch Cassidy took it over. What were they doing before that? Were they just farmers? I mean, not just farmers, that's a hard job, but were they farmers prior to that?
Or? Well, my dad drove a school bus, Doug, for 18 years. Oh. And Welch Cassidy, he was farmer.
Yeah.
He was farmer up until that time.
And I guess they just decided this is a good idea. Let's buy that place and make a feed store out of it.
They did. Well, of course, the Southern States Agency was available at that time.
Yeah.
So that gave them the opportunity to get the agency. And, of course, the building out there was still owned by the Dodd family, and we just leased the building.
Uh-huh.
The property down behind the building, we purchased from Southern Railroad.
And that backs up to the current railroad track.
That backs up to the railroad track where we could get our merchandise in on rail cars.
And I'm assuming that was the logical place to build originally because of the train access.
Right.
The things that came in to be delivered. And a lot of people in old Nicholasville had a lot of things delivered on that train. So, I mean, there was a lot of traffic down by that building because of people going to the train station down in there, because in fact, did not the train station sit right behind it?
Well, almost behind it. Mm-hmm. It was off to the left just a little bit. There was a feed mill down there on the lower part of that property. Harrison Wade ran that feed mill, as a matter of fact, for my dad and Welch, until we finally put all of the milling equipment up behind the Dodd building and then tore that building down there.
So they buy it in 55 and they decide to be a Southern States. Was it kind of the only business of its kind, or were there others at that time?
No, there was one other farm supply business around the street, and I'm not so sure when Thompson and Shear started that, but I know they were in business around there in the latter part of the time that we had the business there.
Now, I've often heard of the C.T. Ashley feed store. Was that prior to all this?
C.T. Ashley was down on Main Street,
right,
if you'll remember, down on the corner of Oak and Main. And they were giving up the Southern States Agency, so...
So they had it?
They had the Southern States Agency.
They had it,
right,
okay.
And we took it over.
Oh, okay. So it was not a brand new Southern States.
No.
But C.T. Ashley, he decided to give it up, and that's what made it open for your dad and Welch to take it.
Right. And they started it, and of course, like I said, in 1955. Mm-hmm. I didn't come into the business until 1961.
How long was it there? How long did you all have it?
How long? Until January of 1977.
Which we
sold it back to the parent company.
Of Southern States.
Southern
Who has it now, I guess?
It's a company-owned facility.
Well, give us, if you can, just some memories of the store and kind of maybe what all you did have. What if I was to walk in that store then, what as a farmer, what all could I buy? Everything I needed?
You could pretty much buy everything you needed for the farm. We had feed, seed, fertilizer, chemicals. At one time, we had appliances.
Really?
Appliances, yeah. Stoves and refrigerators and gas heaters. And I don't care to remember selling coal heaters, but we did have gas heaters. In pretty much anything, garden seed. We always had a garden supply center set up there where you could get plants. And another thing I think might be interesting, Doug, in the wintertime, we would all bring in fresh fruit, fresh citrus fruit from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We had a truck that would come up from Florida, and he would stop by the store, and we'd unload several boxes of citrus fruit. And, I mean, it was good stuff.
You know, it's amazed me when I look back at history of the town especially, and when you think about it, up until 1970, I think the 1970 census signs on the edge of town was about 4,500 people, thereabouts. And when I look back at the number of businesses that were in this place with only 4,500 residents, it's amazing to me, because you had two or three grocery stores and you had a couple of feed stores maybe and all this, but did pretty good business evidently, or they wouldn't have stayed in business. So I guess people, was it more of a shop at home back then?
Absolutely. Yeah, we, of course, Doug, farm people are probably the best people in the world to deal with. They're just good people.
Yeah.
And it was always a pleasure. I tell everybody that's what I miss about the business now is the people.
Right.
And I'm sure the other businesses in town felt the same way.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can remember, and this is one of those businesses that I can remember by the smell. A couple of weeks ago on our program, I interviewed Jack Ward. And to a lot of people, when you say Ward's Bakery, automatically in their mind, they can smell walking in that door the odor of the donuts and the bread and all that. And it's kind of the same way with the feed store. There's certain businesses that I, even myself, can remember as a boy, that odor, that the feed and the salt licks and the chemicals and all that. It's just a certain type that you get.
Yeah, sometimes you get a little odor from a chemical there that wasn't too desirable, but
sulfur.
But the sweet feed and everything, you know, that made it all worth it.
So you sold out in 77 and just decided that it's time. What'd you do then?
Well, I started flying airplanes, Doug. So, yeah, I always loved airplanes, and of course, I've been a licensed pilot since 1964. Mm-hmm. So then I got into corporate aviation. And I flew for R.R. Dawson Bridge Company. I flew for Walmack Farms. I flew for Clay Corman. Probably many of you know that. Mm-hmm. And then I got into Walmack. I got flying jets. I got to enjoy flying the jets. But somebody asked me one time, said, "Buddy, I bet a jet trip's fun." And I said, "Well, let me tell you about a jet trip." I said, "You start up and you taxi out on the runway. You look down the runway and you bring your thrust up and you rotate and you start climbing. You go to instruments, climb up, you level out. You're up at 25, 30, 35,000 feet. Look around, can't see a thing. So 100 miles from your destination, you start down, you go to the instruments, you shoot an instrument approach, you look up and you land. What have you seen on your jet trip? Two runways."
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to explain that to people. I'd much rather fly the smaller, flying airplanes where you see things.
Yeah, I understand that.
Like the one I flew for R.R. Dawson Bridge Company was a King Air, which is a turboprop.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably enjoyed flying that one more than any of the others.
You still fly?
Yeah, I still fly. I have a Cessna 172 and try to stay current.
Good.
So I'm flight instructor rated, and I do some flight checks, flight reviews, and that kind of thing.
And now you're at the county clerk's office part-time.
In the county clerk's office. Last couple of years, it's been a little more than part-time because in 2012, of course, we had a big election.
Right.
And in 2014, we had a big election.
Right.
So I spent quite a bit more time here during those 2 years.
Yeah. You know, heck, you've known me since before I was born.
Yeah.
You and my dad, when would that have started?
Well, it had to start back in... Of course, we grew up within 2 miles of each other.
Right, out in the Union Mill area.
Yeah, and we saw each other real often. We both loved cars, and I always remember, Doug, when your dad got that new 1953 Chevrolet.
Yeah.
He came by the house, and he pulled in the driveway, and he wanted to show it to me. And he was so proud of that car. We got out, and we took a ride in it.
And that's where you learned that you liked to fly, probably.
No, where I learned I like to fly. Doug, I got to tell you this little story about what happened to us one night. There was a little spot downtown called the Hole in the Wall where you could go in any time after midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, get a hot dog and Coke if you wanted it.
Now, so people will know, down on Main Street. Now where Farmer's Square parking lot is, is that correct?
That's right.
Okay.
In that area right there.
All right.
Well, it happened one night that your dad and I wound up in the Hole in the Wall at the same time. We got our hot dog and we talked and we decided it was time to go home. So I get in my car and I go up Main Street and I turn right on Richmond Avenue. So I'm going up Richmond Avenue and I see these headlights turn in behind me. So I say to myself, "That's Howard. I'm not going to let him catch me." So away I go over the hill on Richmond Avenue and out Union Mill Road at a rate of speed that I should not have been going. So I get around about where Lewis Mulkey's place is there on Union Mill Road, and this red light comes on this car behind me. And I said to myself, "That's not Howard." So the state trooper saw me turn the curve there on Richmond Avenue, so he came after me and stopped me. Well, while he had me stopped there, Howard went by.
Yeah.
Going home.
Probably waved at you.
Probably waved. Probably, well, he didn't blow the horn. I know that, because I didn't hear it. But anyway, that was quite a story to tell later on. And I think I've told you that before.
You have?
Yeah.
And it's
one
that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah.
You know, back then, and that would have been, what year would that have been?
That would have been in 19... 57 or 8, somewhere okay. in there.
Think about that time. You know, progress, I guess, is good in a lot of ways, but some ways the good old days were the good old days. What's some of your favorite memories of Nicholasville and Jessamine County back in those days?
Well, Doug, I have said for years and years in the late 1940s and 1950s, Nicholasville was a Mayberry.
Yeah.
It was a Mayberry.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like the cops would sit down here on the corner of Maple and Main Street in their car
mm-hmm.
and sometimes sleep and then sometimes watch us kids going through town and maybe pull out and stop us. What are you boys doing out here so late at night? You know,
yeah.
can you all be home or something like that? It was a good time.
Right.
It was just really a good time.
Everybody knew everybody.
Everybody knew everybody. I tell people that come in the clerk's office now, they ask me, do you know, you pretty much know everybody, don't you? And I said, 30 years ago,
yeah.
I knew everybody.
Not
anymore.
I can even remember a day when I was young that I could walk down Main Street and know everybody I saw.
Right.
And that's even different because now when you come to Nicholasville on a Saturday, I remember the days when the Main Street sidewalks were full. Progress goes on, and that's part of it, and we have to live with it, but there is something to be said about that small town atmosphere that
yeah.
we used to have.
Right.
The bad thing is, though, is because everybody knew everybody, you had more eyes on you than just mom and dad. You probably had a lot of people that was watching all the kids, and they knew each other so well that you kind of had to fly right.
Yeah, mom and dad knew some things about me that I never did understand how they found out, but they did. But talking about downtown Nicholasville on Saturday afternoon and Saturday night, you could come into town, and this whole courthouse fence down on Main Street mm-hmm. would have farmers sitting on it talking. And you could go down to the Rexall Drugstore or Baskets mm-hmm. restaurant, and you could go in and you could get a soda or a Coke. People would be sitting in there on their stools at the drugstore talking. And like you say, you don't know whether you've ever seen this or not, but when people used to come to town on Saturday afternoon and there wasn't a place to park,
yeah.
they'd double park. They'd park right beside that car.
And nobody would ever say a word.
Nobody would ever say a word. And a lot of times, I have gone back to the car with my mother and dad, and there would be people sitting in our car.
Really?
Yeah. They got tired of walking or standing on the street, and they'd find a car that they knew who owned it. They'd sit down in that car and rest till the owners got there.
Yeah, times have changed, and like I say, sometimes that's a good thing, sometimes it's not, but it's good to remember those days and the way it used to be and the things that used to be, because as I was telling Jack Ward a couple of weeks ago, you know, businesses that we used to have like Teeter and Cassidy and Ward's and Hemp Hills and Yearwood's and all those, you know, that's what made Nicholasville and Jessamine County what it is today. It brought it along.
Right.
It was progress in its time. And it brought it along, and we're thankful that those businesses were there and that we can remember them and the ways it used to be for future generations to know. You know, we're just in a rush time right now,
yeah.
and sometimes the Mayberry doesn't look too bad, does it?
Oh, it looks really good, but, you know, I think we all realize that it's never going to stay a Mayberry. No place is going to stay a Mayberry. It has to have progress.
Yeah, that's right.
You can't stay without having progress.
Buddy, thank you. Appreciate you being here with us.
Hey, Doug, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Good luck to you.
We'll do it again sometime. We'll find out some good stories about somebody and just talk about them.
Love to do it.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, I want to take time to thank Buddy for being our guest here on All Things Jessamine. We'll do it again next Saturday at 11. We hope that you will tune in right here to Jess FM 105.9.